In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Exodus 15:21. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters a wall unto them to the right and to the left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord glanced unto the host of Egypt through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." When I heard that again on Saturday night, the Lord glanced at the Egyptian army, the Egyptian chariots, the Egyptian horsemen. And I'm going to tell you, there is only one glance that the Lord has, and it is the glance of love. Because God is love, and he is nothing else but love. He is at least love. And when he looked at them in love, because they were pursuing his people, that love turned into judgment. But God glanced at them in love. It was only love that God glanced at them with through the pillar of fire. Because God can only love. And as he loved them, because they were against him and against his people, that love clogged their wheels because they were obstinate. Their hearts were hardened. Can I tell you today that the Lord, when you woke up this morning, glanced at you with love? When you opened your eyes, and this morning my eyes opened at 6 o'clock, which they don't usually do, at 6 o'clock in the morning, that the Lord glanced at me with love? Let's look at something else now, okay? Because we see lots of glances in the Scripture. We see lots of glances in the Scripture. We're looking at the 20th chapter of St. John, and we're going to see a beautiful glance. It's going to be the same glance that he gave to the Egyptians. So this is chapter 20, and we'll look at it and see what it says. "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto a woman, Why do you weep? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself and saw Jesus standing there, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why are you weeping?" He's looking at her now. "Whom do you seek?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you have borne him away, tell me where you have laid him. I'll take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Oh, this is the same glance that the Lord glanced at the Egyptians with. Mary. Mary. It was the glance of love. But you see, there's a different perspective with the Egyptians and a different perspective with Mary Magdalene. The perspective of Mary Magdalene is she's seeking the Lord whom they've buried. The perspective of the Egyptians is that he's against God and against his people. So when God glances at Egypt with love, Egypt goes into turmoil. When God glances at Mary Magdalene, her heart is filled with love. We could take all these beautiful scriptures because Jesus glanced at all these people. He glanced at the mother who lost her son, the widow at Nain. And that glance brought life to the son. He glanced at the woman at the well who had five husbands. And that glance caused conversion. He glanced at Thomas and he said, "Be not an unbeliever, but a believer." And Thomas melted. He glanced at Pharaoh and his army, and they were turned into confusion. I want to tell you it's the same glance. I want to tell you, only God can love. He glances at you. And how do you receive that glance today? How do you receive that glance today? I pray that it melts you. I pray that it melts you as the risen Savior glances at you with love, that you become so melted by his love. He glances at you, and he glances at me. And you know, he holds nothing against us. I remember the woman that came to me. You know, this was not confession. I could tell you where it was, but I won't. I was in a hall. And she came up to me and told me that she had had 7 abortions. The only thing I could do was to hold her hand and to love her. I could not look at her with any hate or any. I couldn't think of her as being despicable, because only God knows the pain that she was in. But I remember her reaction. She pulled away from me. I never saw her again. But I only had love for her. I wanted to take her in my arms. I wanted to say, you know what? Oh, God has been waiting for you to just know how much he loves you. He's been waiting for you to wipe away all this guilt and torment. He's been waiting for you. But you see, she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. Oh, that we would be ready for the glance of Jesus Christ. That we would be ready, that when he glances at us, we would melt. That when he convicts us of our sin, we would not hide and we would say, "Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive me." That when he looks at us with love, we would just say, "Jesus, how could I have done this to you?" You see, because he doesn't want us to get confused and tormented. That's why I'm going to tell you that, you know, when people are demonically plagued and worship is going on, and they're into demons, and they're into things that they shouldn't be into, they can't stand it. They can't stand that love. They can't stand it because they're not ready to let it go. They're not ready to let it go. They still want to play around with the devil. They're not ready to let it go. And yet, it's only love that the Lord looks at them with. It's only love, because that's all he has. He doesn't have anything else. And I'm just not saying these words as words, my friend. This is reality. This is reality. He only has love for you. He only has eyes for you. That no matter what happens, he doesn't point his finger. The index finger of Jesus Christ is never pointed at us. With the woman caught in adultery, you know, he looked away from her while all those dirty old men were condemning her. He began to write on the ground, the scripture says, while those filthy, dirty old men condemned her. He only looked up at her with love when they all left. That's what the scripture says. Because he would not cast his eyes upon this woman who was in the midst of guilt and torment from these elders of Israel. You see, this is Jesus, you know. You're talking Jesus. Compassionate, merciful, awesome, holy, gentle. But I'm telling you, he's not only as gentle as a lamb. He is as strong as a lion, for he is the Lion of Judah. For when he was in that temple and he turned over those benches, I tell you, he wanted his house to be a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. Our Lord is hard on the religious people. On the religious people who put burdens on people. You see, what we need to be doing is taking burdens off of people. We need to point to the cross. We need to point to the cross. We do not stand as the righteous ones. No one is righteous in the sight of God. Only through the blood are we righteous. No one is righteous. The Lord glances at the Archdiocese of Boston right now with love. When she's making up her mind, shall she go into the centene stuff? But let me tell you, that love and that glance will turn into such confusion if we go that way. You must know that, because God will not put up with it. It will be the glance of love, and we will say we want to go our own way. If we decide to go our own way, that glance of love will cause us to be so confused, you have no idea. Because it's like the Egyptians, you see. You're not doing what the Lord wants them to do. You're pursuing God's people. You're going to be sending people to have abortions, you see. But the glance will always be the glance of love. It's how it's received. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So here we have doubt. After 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came into the doors, even though the doors were shut. He stood in the midst and said, Shalom, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, My Lord and my God. You see, this is a glance of love. But you see, even though he doubted, Thomas was not against Jesus. Even the doubt did not cause Thomas to go into turmoil. Because when Jesus glanced at him and said, Come on, come and touch me, he melted. He melted. Oh, let's look at this now. Let's look at this now. This is an interesting scripture because we're going to see a glance that's going to freak people out. You know, I just love this, that Jesus was buried in this tomb, you know, and they stationed soldiers there. Isn't that a scream? Stationed soldiers at the tomb, okay? Now the next day they followed. It was the day of preparation, and the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he has been raised from the dead. So the last problem will be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, ye shall have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing it, the stone and the setting, and a watch. Isn't that funny? I wonder when that glance came from Jesus at those soldiers. I wonder how they just, oh my Lord, that how they froze, how they, I don't know, maybe they melted. It doesn't seem so because they go and tell the Jewish leaders, you know, that he's gone. But I'm sure that glance of love caused them to freak out like a stroke. I always laughed at the soldiers, you know, guarding a tomb. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? The soldiers guarding a tomb. That's an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. He's dead. Why would you have soldiers guarding a tomb? He's dead. But as Peter said in the Acts of the Apostles, that death could not hold the author of life. That death could not hold the author of life, that the Lord said that his Holy One would not see corruption. And David was not talking about himself, for his own tomb is in Jerusalem. He was talking about the Messiah, that you will not let your servant see corruption. My Lord. And then we have the brother who goes into Sheol, and he wants to tell his brothers that they better shape up or ship out. And what does the Lord say? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not even listen if someone rises from the dead. They will not listen. What about Saul on the road to Damascus? There was a glance there. And he fell to the ground. Changed his life. The glance of love changed it. Now, this guy was in the process of killing Christians. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You would think that he'd take a stroke. You would think that he'd freak out. You would think. But Saul took the glance as a glance of mercy, a glance of love. It blinded him. What do I want to say to you? I want to tell you that he's glancing at you. When you wake up in the morning, he glances at you. You might not even realize it, but he glances at you. That's why you give him permission over the day. I give you permission over my day today. I give you permission over my life today. I give you permission over all the things that I will be involved in today. I give you permission, Lord. I do not want to offend you. I want your glance to literally cause me to repent, cause me to be who you want me to be. The look of love, I guess. The look of love. And what do you do with the look of love? That's really what it's all about. Do you just go your own way? Or do you cause that look to penetrate your heart, leading you to repentance? What do you do with the look of love? I love it when people say, you know, God hates me. And I laugh and I say, no, he's got better things to do. He's got better things to do. You hate you, but God doesn't hate you. Look at the things that have happened in my life. I says, God's got better things to do than to hate you today. You hate you, but God doesn't hate you. He holds nothing against you. You hold things against you, but not the Lord. He's just waiting for you to ask for his mercy. It's all he wants. It's been 2,000 years since the resurrection of Jesus, and we still don't know the glance. It's been 2,000 years since the resurrection of our Lord, and we still don't know his power. It's been 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, and we still act as if we're orphaned, when he said, I will not leave you orphaned. Poor Jesus, after giving his life for us, conquering death, rising from the dead, we still don't trust him. After all he did, we still don't trust him. We still think he's going to take the rug from under us when things are going right. I love it when people tell me, oh, things are all going right, something bad's going to happen. Oh, what a wonderful image you have of God. What a wonderful image. God pulls the rug under your feet. Is that God? I think you've got your people mixed up. That's the devil. It's not God. God doesn't do that. Everything's going right. Oh, my Lord, I wonder what's going to happen around the corner. We've got a rotten image of God. And it's certainly not the one who rose from the dead and who glances at you with love. But that's my experience. I'm sure it's your experience. But you got the people wrong. It's not God who pulls the rug under your feet. It's the devil. It's not God who discourages you. It's the devil. It's not God who says, you're hopeless. That's you, your father, and the devil. Or your mother. Or your teacher. Get your people right, okay? Get your people right. You know what Jesus says? What they say about Jesus in the scripture? Listen to what they say. Isaiah says it. A bruised reed he shall not break. And we're all bruised reeds. A smoldering wick he shall not quench. He will not take the bruised reed and break it. He will not take the smoldering wick and put it out. He breathes on the smoldering wick. Oh, my Lord. We've got our people all mixed up. After all he's done for us, we still think he's out to get us. Isn't that wonderful? That's pathetic. That's pathetic. I tell people they don't know Jesus from Mickey Mouse, but most of the church doesn't know Jesus from the devil. That's real. Most of the church doesn't know Jesus from the devil. He's going to pull the rug from under my feet. Well, if that's who God is, you can keep him. But my Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us all things beside? For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor the things present or the future, nor powers nor principalities, nor devils from hell, nor sickness, nor life, nor death can separate us from the love of God. He who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside, my Lord? You see, that's why we're so biblically illiterate. We don't know God from the devil. So stay away from the scripture, you know. Stay away from the scripture. That's don't read it, because, you know, you might get enlightened. You might find out that the one you're thinking about is not God himself, but the devil. You know. But it's real. As I said, the people in the world don't know Jesus from Mickey Mouse, and the people in the church, most of them, don't know Jesus from the devil. They think that Jesus is the one who pulls the rug from under our feet, my Lord. He who did not spare his own son, that's the Father, but gave him up for us all. On the cross, will he not give us all things beside? Listen, I need to hear from people, because you know what? We need to pay our bills. We cannot pay our bills without your help. So please, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Send us a resurrection gift, okay? Resurrection gift. I don't even like the word Easter. You want to know why? Easter comes from the goddess Ashra. It really does. The spring god. But send us a resurrection gift. I like the word Pasqua, the Pasch. That's Italy, Italian, and it's also Spanish. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Has been in season and out of season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.